Awesome. So we are in the third week, is it? Third week of our teaching series. And it is really a teaching series. It's not so much preaching, it's teaching to believers, because this can only happen to believers. So we're kind of almost like preaching to the converted, but teaching the believers. We're teaching about speaking in tongues and praying in tongues. So let's pray before we look at the word. Father, hallelujah, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the seeds that are held within this word. I thank you that this word was literally breathed of you, Father. Yeah, it's scrolled by men, but written by you, Lord. So thank you that these are your words for us today. And thank you that these words are seeds that we can plant in our heart. Thank you that this word was designed to grow in our hearts and designed to produce fruit. So we thank you for that, Father. We speak our understanding so that your seeds are not stolen. Understanding so that your seeds will grow and produce fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So, yes, we're teaching about speaking in tongues, about praying in tongues. That's what the series is about. But we saw a verse last week that Michelle mentioned already. She mentioned it during the offering. That could be like a tagline for this series. Well, it could be a tagline for any sermon that I do. Because sermons are to start the debate, it's to start the learning process, but it's about learning and understanding and progressing in our walk. And we saw in Acts 18:24 about Apollos, remember? And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, hey Carol, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John, and began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounding unto him the way of God more perfectly. I'm hoping that that's the process that we're starting to do every sermon, and that we are starting together to move unto the way of God more perfectly. Anyone in here know everything they need to know about God? No. Well, if you did, you need to repent of being a liar for a start. Hallelujah. I think either that or we're sadly deluded if we think we know everything about God. And that's what I'm trying to do in this series, try to do in every sermon, is help each other. And it's not just about me helping you to move unto the ways of God more perfectly. It's you guys helping me as well, and me as helping each other move unto the way of God more perfectly. I love that phrase. I like that concept, learning together. It's great. So what did we see? Well, last week, we saw that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is essential before we can speak in tongues. So there's no point in just teaching about speaking in tongues. We've got to teach about the baptism in the Holy Spirit as well. Because if you ain't got that, you're not getting this. There's a progression. And last week we looked at models of how people received this baptism, different ways. And I want to carry on this week by looking at what happened to the people once they received. Because you know what, guys, it's so much more than speaking in tongues. Now, I am eventually going to get to teaching on speaking in tongues, but there's all this stuff that we need to do first. This is a series that we're looking at, speaking in tongues, but I want to show you that people received so much more and it gave them so much more. I also want to show you that it's nothing to be scared of. Nothing to be worried about. Nothing to be anxious about. Because I see this as part of the progressive work of the Lord in our lives. I mean, you've not always been the outstanding born-again Christians that you are today. Were you? Well, thank you. I had one or two no's and one indignant look. You know, we're not the what was it, Qualis? Eloquent and whatever. We've not always been like that. We've all had this progressive work of the Lord in our lives. I mean, none of you were born saved. So there came a point when you had that one bit of progression. And you've not always been the amazing, fantastic, renewed mind Christians that you are now, are you? You had to go through that process. In fact, we're all still going through that process. But what I see in the Word is this, is just progression after whatever you look at, there's progression. What do I mean by that? Well, we look at Genesis. And we see creation. We see the world being created. We see men being created. We see the fall. We see people throughout the Old Testament reaching out to God to try and deal with their sin. We read from the prophets who tell us there is someone coming who is going to do that for us. About the coming of Jesus. The explicit prophecies like Isaiah 9:6. Anybody want to burst into Handel's Messiah right now? 9:6. Isaiah 53:4 and 5 and 10. It's going to be Christmas soon. Yes, I know, folks, it's not even November yet. But it is. It's coming. I don't know. I can't tell you how many shopping days there are. I'm sure somebody's... No. Nobody doing that anymore. You don't need shopping days anymore because every day is a shopping day with the internet. And 7.5 weeks. So it's coming. And we all know what happens at Christmas at MGF. We get your Christmas messages. Grant, are you in for a treat, my friend? Oh, you're in for a treat. It'll soon be Christmas when we were reading about pictures that we see in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, telling us of the coming of Jesus. For example, telling us where he was and where he wasn't born. That's one of my favourites, so we'll get on to that. Then we read in the Gospels about John the Baptist coming and predicting the coming of Jesus Christ. And then we read all about Jesus, this progression. And Jesus tells us about this progression as well and who will be coming next. Look at John 14. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, it's got to happen, for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come into you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. In verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Jesus predicting the next stage in this progression of the Lord's work for mankind. And that's what this series is about the Holy Spirit coming and then baptizing people. See, there's this progression of revelation, progression in God's relationship with mankind. And I see the baptism of the Holy Spirit as simply one part in that progression. And because it's of the Lord, contrary to some teachings, it's not of the devil. You know, it's of the Lord. It's part of that natural progression that we see in the life of the believer. It's nothing to be afraid of. I mentioned last week, I think I did the week before. I know people, believers, fervent believers, absolutely passionate, and like Apollos, operating in that spirit of excellence and fervour. But because of their experiences, fearing the baptism of the Holy Spirit, fearing being controlled. When I spoke last week, kind of just sort of a throwaway remark, I'd kind of love it if I was just always controlled by the Holy Spirit. He don't make mistakes. He doesn't put his foot in it. He doesn't make a complete pig's ear of things. Which I can remember speaking about that on Thursday, remember? You know, yeah, just control me. Why free will, Lord? Just take me over like a robot and do what I need to do. You know, we can joke about it. That's, you know, we were speaking about free will last week. So I kind of see this as nothing to be afraid of, nothing to fear. It's part of our natural progression, or actually supernatural progression of our walk with the Lord. And I see it as something every believer should want and desire. Now, don't be condemned if you're part of the church that doesn't want it, doesn't desire it yet. But I would love to see every believer want it and desire it. However, we're all at different stages. I mean, we're all at different stages in every part of our walk. Some of us in here have clocked righteousness. Some of us in here have clocked healing. Some of us in here have sussed out forgiveness. But there are others where we're still working towards that revelation and that progression of our walk with the Lord. So, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, some people haven't received it. Why haven't they received it? It could be lack of knowledge. It could be a lack of desire. It could be anxiety. But we're all on this journey. We're all progressing. We're all progressing at different rates. And that's okay. I mean, we see progression in covenants as well. God had covenants with individual people. Then he had the old covenant. And then we see the new covenant. Progression. Progression is just something natural. Change. See, some folk just don't like change. No, I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm getting on great. You know, with just my word and just my fellowship. That's great. I don't really need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, kind of yes and no. You know, probably you don't. But it's worth it. And it's just another progression that we go through. And we are so fortunate in this time, in this progression of covenants, we're under the new covenant. And in this progression of revelation of the Holy Spirit and the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, we're living under the new covenant, under grace, when we can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I'm kind of standing here saying, why not? And this time will only pass with the coming of Jesus. Amen. So it's an awesome time. Until Jesus comes, I would suggest that we as a body should be encouraging the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we as a church should be encouraging individuals to get into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's kind of where I'm coming from. Okay, let's look at what we get, what we receive, what happens to us in the baptism of the Holy Spirit when we're turned into robots. And we're just controlled. No, we'll see. That's not what happens. Okay? Well, let's look and see what Jesus says again. Same verses we just looked at. John, I think I need to slow down and calm down. I can feel myself getting a bit excited. Okay. John 14, 26 and 27. Jesus speaking. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Wow. There's something in additional to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And bring all things to your remembrance. It's another thing. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. There's peace as well. Not as the world giveth, but I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We can be free of troubles, we can be free of fear. These are all things that we can get. A wonderful promise from Jesus Christ. And this baptism of the Holy Spirit, I've not got time to go into it, but I just saw a little clip yesterday when another preacher was saying this baptism of the Holy Spirit is also known as the promise of God. Not a promise of God. So I've still got to look into that properly. The promise of God. That's why baptism of the Holy Spirit's not to be feared. It's from him. It's a gift. It's a promise. We're definitely going to get it. That gift is there. We just need to receive it. You know, I use quite often use examples of us and Lydia and all that around about Christmas time. But when Lydia grew up, do you think there was any doubt in her mind that she'd come down on Christmas morning and there'd be no gifts there from Nanny and Drowdy? Did you think there was ever any doubt that the gifts, like the 55 gifts, were gonna be there? We've knocked it back. We knocked it back for a while and it was just 20 odd, you know. But do you think ever in her young life did she ever think, I wonder if there's going to be gifts there for me from Drowdy? Never. She knew that was a promise. And do you think she just left the gifts there? Oh, I'm not going to open them this year, Drowdy. No, right in. Paper flying everywhere. No, she received those gifts. We'll probably talk more about that at Christmas. Well, wonderful promise. The promise of God. That's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not to be feared. It's a promise. It's a gift. And we receive it by faith. And contrary to my jokes, we are not taken over. We are not controlled when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Look at Romans 8. Romans 8, verses 14. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Doesn't say, for as many as are taken over by the Spirit of God. For as many as are controlled by the Spirit of God. For as many that have their free will removed by the Spirit of God. Doesn't say that. It says led. And when I was reading that, again, I mean, I used Lydia all the time. I pictured me and Lydia up in the quarry wood going for a walk. You know, just gently holding her hand, leading her. You know, not getting behind her and pushing her, controlling where she went, leading her. But if she wanted to go off elsewhere, it was okay, you know. I wouldn't drag her back. We're led. Oh, I've just seen that picture. Where is it where I do that thing? Is it Psalm 103? Is it? People are looking confused, that other thing. Where he holds us and leads us. It's not that, it's 109, isn't it? No, it's 139. Stephen's sitting there and thinking, yeah, first rule of pastoring, stick to the notes, Vic. I will get it. Is that Psalm 139, verse 10. Okay, my beloved, come here. Because it's COVID times, I can't do it to anybody else. This is what the Holy Spirit does to us, okay? So what does Psalm 139 say? Verse 10, it says, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. This is what it means. So the Holy Spirit is taking your hand like this, and he's holding you like this. Now, do you wander off anywhere? Yes, you just kind of go where he goes. Shall we do a gig, Gordon? No. Thanks, Dan. Sorry. I wasn't planning doing that. But it's just to kind of show you, he doesn't control us. He leads us. It probably would be how... I'm not getting into dancing because I can't do that. Never mind, it's not a good example. We are led by the Spirit, we're not controlled by the Spirit. Amen. That's what my notes say, I'm going to stick to that. All right? If I could edit, I would cut that bit out, but it's too late when it's live. So, we're not controlled. Now, why did I say that? It's because I know there are fears of some people of that. Some believers think, experience tells me that phrase this correctly, Vic. Experience shows me that some people do some pretty strange things under the control of the Spirit. Would that be fair? You know, that's not too harsh. That is what I've seen. That is what some people see. And that is what some people have seen and don't want that. When I see that, you know, I can discern pretty quickly, is that flesh or is it the Holy Spirit? And a lot of what I've seen that people are concerned about is flesh. And not the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit does things, how does he do things? He does it decently and in order. We saw that, Paul writes that. We'll look at that later. So there's no control. And it's he will guide, he will, you know, sometimes I look back in my life and I think, yeah, you know, my gut reaction was don't go there, don't go there, don't go there. And it was really strong, but I did it anyway. I can see times when the Holy Spirit is almost like standing like this with his hands on my chest. But I still kind of pushed through, did what I wanted to do anyway. So sometimes his leading, his guidance can feel quite strong. But it's never that you can't push through if you want to do it yourself. Free will, we've all got that. And it's strong in some of us, hallelujah. So we're led by the Spirit, we're not controlled by the Spirit. I just wanted to show that. While we're talking about that, let's go to Pentecost, Acts 2. Acts 2, 1 to 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord, with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all filled and began to speak in tongues. They did it. You know, that's written in such a way that you can actually, if you wanted to rewrite that sentence, the way it's structured, you could say, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in tongues. It's one continuous thing. They began to speak in tongues. Yes, the Spirit guided them. He gave them utterance. He gave them that language. He gave them the ability to speak in tongues. But he didn't do the speaking. They did it. They had to open their mouth. They had to breathe out in such a way that, what is it? Is it your larynx? Is that what it's called? Or your vocal cords wobbled about? And a sound came out. They did that. Not the Holy Spirit. Yes, he guided them, gave them words sometimes. But they opened their mouths. They were in control. And you are in control. You are in control. Like, I've taught on this a few times, and those who've been with me for a long time know what not to say to Vic. And none of the guys that have been with me for a long time will say, the Spirit made me do it, or the devil made me do it. They'll just know they'll get a slap, metaphorically. A pastoral metaphorical slap. Heard too many excuses in my time. The Spirit made me do it. No. No. I was under the influence of the Spirit. Yeah, you might have been. But it was you that made you do things. It was your nerve signal. It was your thought process sent the nerve signals that you did what you said. You did it. Someone else, don't say to me, the devil made me do it. No. That's like just as bad, if not worse. Oh, the devil made me do it. No, no offence, but that's an excuse. I try to look everybody in the eye, so I make sure I tell everybody. Nobody gets offended that I miss you out. Don't say that to me. It's one of my bugbears. Not the devil made me do it. No. Yeah, he may have influenced you. He may have put the idea in your head. He may have, or actually, he probably didn't. He probably put it there yourself. And he might have encouraged you, yeah. But to the folk that have been with us a long time, you're the ones that went out and bought the bananas. And it wasn't the devil that made you buy those bananas. Go, Carol's eating one right now. Sorry, guys, that's another in-joke. No one forced you. The devil didn't force you to get into that fruit and veg shop and get those bananas off the top shelf. No, you did it. Everything we do, we control it. We will it and we do it. All the good, all the bad. Yes, we can be influenced, we can be led. And the Holy Spirit is trying to do that. He's trying to lead us. Yeah, other people are trying to lead us. The enemy's trying to lead us. But we do the... we're in control. There you go. Back to John 14. Let's see what we receive at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to show you today that even though we're focusing on speaking in tongues and praying in tongues, I want to show you that you receive so much more. So what did Jesus say there? That was... that was John 14, wasn't it? John 14. He shall teach you all things. Love that. Not some things. Teach you all things. Once you're baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, immersed fully in the living God, get this, we possess within us all knowledge. All knowledge. Everything. It's like, unfortunately, though, it's in our spirit. We need to get that out. But the Holy Spirit can teach us all things. But we've got to be teachable. We've got to be listening. We've got to be understanding. We've got to spend time with them. Oh, here you go again. I've got works to do, Vic. Yeah, works, but not as in works of the law. But time and effort and relationships. I mean, we joke about it often, you know. Myself and Nancy now been married 35 years. You know, it took a bit of time for us to end up the perfect couple that we are right now, you know. Yay! Yay. You need time to be with someone, to know what they want, what they can do for you, what they think, what they believe, what they understand. You have to spend time with people to develop that relationship. And the same is true with God, with the Holy Spirit. It takes time. But he can teach us all things. Sorry, I just thought of a joke there about knowledge and husbands and wives, but I won't go there. Blokes, ask me about it later. Hallelujah. Not just some things, all things. Why can I say that? Because once you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you're fully immersed in the living God and he's in you and he's here and he's there and you're in him. I mean, is there anything he doesn't know? But he's in you. He's with you. He's trying to lead you. He's trying to influence you. There's nothing he doesn't know. I've said this a few times. And he knows what's best for us. If we acknowledge him, we can let him direct our paths. Awesome. But that darn free will gets in the way again, Vic. Yes, I know. Hallelujah. There's nothing he doesn't know. Now we're baptized in him. You will also have a vastly improved memory. And we fancy one of those. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not speaking out death, but I'm kind of getting it. I really want an improved memory. At this age, it's great. Well, that's what it says there. Bring all things to your remembrance. What things? All things. Now, there is a slight wee caveat on that. He will bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So, this is Jesus Christ speaking to us, yes? We can remember, if we've read it from here, we've heard it from here, he can bring all of that back to our remembrance. So for those of us that are thinking, I can't remember that scripture, you can. If you're in relationship with him and you're formulating your relationship with him and having time with him, he can bring all those things to your remembrance. And it's amazing. I wish I'd done the maths. There must be some kind of correlation factor. But it is amazing. The longer you spend with the Holy Spirit and in prayer and with the Lord, the more scriptures you remember. Wow. Isn't that a coincidence? Oh, it's just you memorise it. No, it's not. It's a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I remember a little golf story. Remember Gary Player? Somebody said to him, Gary, when you're out on the course, you're quite a lucky golfer, aren't you? And he says, you know what? It's funny, the more I practice, the luckier I get. It's like that. The more we're immersed in the Spirit, the more we remember. And yes, instead of saying, you know, I know there's some kind of verse that says, you know, I'm the righteousness of Christ, I think, or whatever. No, he said, you know, that's 2 Corinthians 5:21. You get to that stage. It takes a while. It's long. Like I said, it's taken us 35 years to get to this state of perfection. It can take a long time in your relationship with the Lord to kind of to build on it. So you can improve your memory. As long as it's the Bible, the Word of God, what Jesus has said to us. If you've read this book, if you've heard what Jesus has said, Holy Spirit can bring that to your remembrance. Now, you might think, well, I can't remember it now, Vic. I'm sure I read something. I can't remember it now. So I'm just no good. I'm just going to stop. No, keep reading. Keep reading, keep reading, keep reading. Because once you've heard it, he can then bring it to your remembrance. Amen? Hallelujah. And we can have peace. Baptism of the Holy Spirit brings us peace. That's what Jesus said there in John 14. It's one of the models, one of the ways to live in more peace. And in this world, right now, in these times, who does not want more peace? Here's a good bit of advice. Next time you're watching the news, switch it off and spend some time with the Holy Spirit instead. I guarantee you, after that you'll have more peace. It's no rocket science, this. Hallelujah. He's leaving the Holy Spirit with us until he returns again. He said, I'm leaving peace. That equates to the Holy Spirit. I mean, as well as wanting to know all things, you know, I want a better memory. I want to live more in peace. Hallelujah. Let's go to John 16. What else does John talk about? What do we get with the baptism of the Holy Spirit? John 16:13, is it? Yes. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Guide you into all truth. Who doesn't want that in this age of alternate truth? I was shocked to the core when I saw a Facebook post when this, I'm not going to name names, but this spokesman for a certain politician, their politician was accused of lying. And she said, no, he wasn't lying. He just spoke an alternative truth. I mean, come again? What? Truth is relative now.
Yeah, it's your truth.
Yes, it's your truth. If you want it to be your truth, it's your truth. Yeah. Not going to go there. I see that. Does Holy Spirit give you restraint as well? He just led me back there. Hallelujah. Absolutely. But yes, he leads us unto all truth. Again, it's here. This is it. This is what you can lead us into, all truth. In the days of alternate truth, man, and lies, Who doesn't want that? Hallelujah. There is only one truth, God's truth, and the Holy Spirit can guide us in that. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And he will also show us things to come, it says there. And he will show you things to come. That's one form of prophecy. We also receive that at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts 19. Acts 19, verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands on them and the Holy Ghost came on them, they spoke with tongues and prophesied. You could say they spoke with tongues and they prophesied. Again, this is not about control. We get to do it. They spoke in tongues, they also prophesied. As well as telling of things to come. You know, prophecy is not just someone standing out and shouting, "Thus saith the Lord." And then in one time when we had it, just that's like tearing into the pastor. That's not true prophecy, but never mind. But prophecy is not just someone standing up and saying, "This is going to happen, this will come to pass." No, prophecy is about using the word of God to edify and exhort and encourage. And I think we could all do that a little bit more. Amen. But if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can do that for your fellow believers. You can do that for anybody. You can edify, you can encourage, you can exhort one another with the word. You can prophesy over people. And then, the person that I really like to use, look at Peter. What happens when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, you can become a Peter. Hey, we can move from that doubter. And that guy that I gave a really hard time to, what was that, about 5, 6, 7 weeks ago? Having a real go at Peter for denying Jesus. And I don't really love you, I just like you as a mate. Kind of paraphrasing a little bit. And this guy who just keeps getting it wrong and who denies Jesus and falls asleep when Jesus needs him. And where was Peter at the cross? Hiding somewhere. But look at Acts 2:14, just after Pentecost. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, spoke with assertiveness and boldness and assurance. And said unto them, "Ye men of Judah and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words." Listen to me. And they did, they listened. Acts 2:14. And then we know, you can read on. Peter teaches and preaches in power and we see 3,000 souls saved. And again, that's probably just counting the blokes because they were the only ones important back then. So 3,000 souls saved. Right after he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Peter talks about what occurs after receiving the Holy Spirit, if you read that. You'll dream dreams, you'll prophesy, you'll have visions. It's open to us after our baptism of the Holy Spirit. Peter teaching and preaching under the leadership, under the guidance, being led by the Holy Spirit. I see this as an example of what Jesus spoke about. Peter being led by the Holy Spirit to stand up initially, to open his mouth, and then for him to preach and teach. Leading him, bringing scripture to his remembrance, showing him the truth to speak out. And this brought about what? Brought about changed lives, brought about saved lives. And as well as 3,000 people, there must have been in that people healed of sickness, people healed of depression, people moving out of their poverty. Changed lives. Peter was now operating in power and authority he'd never operated in before. Even when Jesus said, "Peter, you go and feed my sheep. But not right now." What did he also say to them? He said, "Wait." Wait for what? Wait for Pentecost. Wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And that's open to all of us through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And yes, of course, we receive the ability to speak in tongues. Acts 2:4. And began to speak in tongues. Acts 10:46. For they heard them speak with tongues. Acts 19:6. and they spoke with tongues. Yeah, this is what I'm focusing on this series. But remember, it's not the only advantage of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Lots of other advantages. And hey, let's be selfish for a minute. Really, Vic? Are you going to tell us to be selfish? Yeah, I'm going to tell you to be selfish. And go to Jude 20. But ye, beloved, you believers, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You want to build yourself up, you pray in the Spirit. Be selfish. Take time out. Pray in the Spirit. That root Greek word comes from the root word meaning to build as in a house, to construct, but it also means, get this, to edify and to embolden. Embolden, that's what Peter was. Stood up bold and spoke it out. He opened his mouth, he spoke out. You can become bolder. You can create firmer foundations for your life through praying in tongues. And that will help you edify, encourage and exhort the brethren. But it'll also be building yourself up at the same time. You know, Vic, I can't get to meetings. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do the next thing. Are you ever on your own? Like really on your own? With nothing else. You don't need anything else. Sit down in a chair or at the beach, in your prayer closet if you've got one. I haven't got a closet big enough for me. But I'll just sit in a chair. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Do it yourself. I probably have got a cupboard big enough if we've got all the stuff out at the back door there. Yeah. But pray in tongues. But here we go. But Vic, that's something I've got to do. You just come along and kind of wave your magic pastor hand over me and sort things out for me. Doesn't work like that. Yes, we need other people to help us. But we do it ourselves. We can edify ourselves. Good for you. Part of our progression as a Christian. It's part of the plan of progression God has for all of us. You know, it's there as a gift. Have you ever given a gift to anyone and then hoped that they didn't take it? Or say, here's a gift for you, I really don't want you to have this though. You know, other than, you know, when a snake bounces out or something, I don't know. You know, you give a gift to someone, you want them to use it, don't you? He has provided this for us. And it's part of our progression, and he wants us to use it. He wants everyone to come to salvation. But we know we can limit the Holy One of Israel. Free will, not everyone is saved. Free will, not everyone moves into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it's there, it's as a gift. He wants us to have it. He wants us to use it. He wants us to open it up. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to finish